Upgrade is a new horror sci-fi flick from Australian director Lee Whannell, known for the Saw and Insidious franchises. His latest film follows a technophobe living in a world largely run by technology, but when tragedy strikes, he's forced to turn to an experimental program in order to take back control. We're joined now by Blake Smart to talk about the film and other new releases. Good morning.
Good morning, guys, and good morning, listeners.
Now, can you tell us a bit more about the film? Yeah, we don't acknowledge them enough.
Absolutely, I can tell you more about the film. It is RoboCop. The movie is, at its core, it is just kind of like RoboCop.
But now, is that a good thing? Are we viewing that as a good thing or not?
In some ways, it's a good thing.
There's been a new RoboCop film. There's been a whole slew of RoboCop films.
It's definitely better than the remake of RoboCop. And this movie, it's RoboCop in the fact that it follows a very traditional and a little bit, you know, misogynist, boring, like, his wife dies and then he wants to get revenge on the people that killed his wife and... That's kind of a story through line. That's the very most least interesting part of the movie. The interesting part is how he gets his not RoboCop powers, which is a little... It's kind of like a microchip that attaches to his spinal column when he becomes a quadriplegic through a car accident. And he attaches a thing to his spine, and that controls his body. And that's that's a really interesting concept for a film and for a performer, because the main character... has borderline, he at times doesn't have control of his body.
Now, people can't see what you're doing right now, but you're sort of making almost a Thunderbird-style movement.
It is a little bit like that. It's a little bit like he's puppeting his own body, but then the microchip has a brain of its own, and it starts talking to him. And you get this really cool dynamic of, you know, movies where there's a character that you can't see that talks to the main character, and it's really interesting. And sometimes that takes over for his body. And to me, one of the most interesting parts of this movie is just watching the main performer. He's in control of his head, but he's not in control of his body. And his body's completely doing another thing, but he does that simultaneously. And so he's watching his own body do things that he's never done before. And so his new body, which is incredibly good at karate, goes through the rest of the film, helping him find revenge. And, you know, it's a revenge story. But it's all very charming because it's low budget. The movie is made by Blumhouse, which is famous for its horror movies. And I found it interesting that this is classified as a horror movie because it's kind of not a horror movie. But it's not really anything else. And that's why Blumhouse created their own, a spin-off sort of production house called Blumhouse Tilt for these. I think they want to branch out into these movies that kind of don't fit into any predetermined hole, because it's kind of a comedy as well. It's kind of funny. It's kind of scary. It's a thriller. It's a sci-fi. It has its own identity.
Who stars in the film?
Can't remember his name.
but he was very good.
That's one of the things about these Blumhouse movies is that they are incredibly small. Like, they're incredibly, incredibly small. Like, this movie comes off the back of their runaway success, Get Out. Get Out was their most successful film so far, almost, you know, taking Oscars. And that's just for a simple, low-budget horror movie. And this is a simple, low-budget thing, but it's not going to make any money. It's a problem because some people theorize, like people who specialize in marketing and stuff, they're like, oh, it's because it doesn't have a defined genre. It doesn't market itself as anything. And they might be right. It might be because it is, you know, the revenge story is, you know, old hack by now. But I think it is an enjoyable movie. It's pretty enjoyable. There's a lot of laughs. Very violent. Very violent movie.
So, as I mentioned in the intro, it's directed by Lee Whannell, who's had two popular franchises now. Is this likely... Does it leave a cliffhanger in any way? Is there likely for there to be franchises?
Yeah. It definitely leaves a cliffhanger. Whether the franchise continues is like... Because it is cheap, maybe because it didn't make that much money, that won't be a problem making another one. But it's, you know... It's all dependent on who goes to see movies and what they're going to make next.
And is it compelling enough to warrant a sequel, do you think?
Yes, I think that the ending is definitely. I'm going to semi-spoil it. There is a twist ending. And it is a pretty it is interesting. Like it's a, it is one of those twists where it's it is set up in the start of the movie and is paid off properly. It's not a twist for the sake of being a twist. There's like an interesting element to that part of the story, and that's the technological side, which is the better part of the movie rather than the Hodak revenge boring stuff, which you have to have if you're gonna not focus on the emotional side of the story. You kind of have to go with one of the tried and true concepts.
Well, speaking with our movie reviewer, Blake Smart, he also recently saw Sicario 2. What were your thoughts?
Well, this is an interesting movie because I'm a little bit biased. I read the screenplay before I saw the movie. So I knew exactly what I was going in for in terms of story. Except they also cut a lot of stuff and the movie ends up not making as much sense as it should. That aside, this is another movie that comes off the back of an incredibly successful movie. The first Sicario movie, which was directed by Denis Villeneuve, who recently made the recent Blade Runner and has had huge success. Sicario is like one of the reasons that he's had a huge amount of success. So the director of this movie has huge pressure on their shoulders to make something that is just as good. It's not as brilliant as the first movie, which is, it's not that disappointing because I think that movies should have their own identity. But, you know, if people are going in expecting the first movie, they're not going to find it because they don't have the same type of character that Emily Blunt played in the first movie because her character is completely gone. We focus on Matt and Alejandro and they are, you know, sort of unlikable people. Matt is a CIA man who does violent things for the American government and do kind of despicable things in the name of, you know, protecting American people. And the movie doesn't pretend that that's okay. It is the first half of the movie plays out like an expose on the brutal methods of the American military industrial system, which is, yeah, it's confronting. It's a confronting movie, but it kind of veers into this more personal story and kind of lets go of all political aspects nearer the end. And yeah, it gets there. It's a very cool movie, very slick. It looks good, which is kind of, they're trying very hard to come off the back of Roger Deakins, who shot the first movie, but not this one. And Roger Deakins, greatest living cinematographer of all time. So whenever you're trying to, you can always tell that it's not Roger Deakins, but they're trying very, very hard.
Now, yeah, as you said, there isn't, for those that have seen the original film, Emily Blunt is sort of the lens in which we get this glimpse into this cartel world and these sort of arguably corrupt things that the government does. How is it sort of spending the whole movie with the Josh Brolin and Benicio del Toro characters, both, very good actors, but as you said, sort of despicable sort of people in the film?
Yeah, it can be hard. It can be hard to spend time with them because they're not necessarily likable people. They're kind of unlikable. There is a point in which Alejandro has a connection with a young girl, and that's sort of, it's reminiscent of his relationship with his daughter, his now past deceased daughter, which is way backstory. I'm not spoiling the first movie for anyone that hasn't seen it. And that it's not a redemption story. It doesn't redeem him, but it's a little bit of warmth in a movie that is very cold. It's a very cold movie because we follow the CIA operation to wage a war against cartels in a very secretive and dark and scary environment, and there's no light at the end of the tunnel in this movie.
And as we were speaking about franchises just before, and given this was almost an unwarranted sequel, should we expect more Sicarios in the future?
Well, it is interesting. This movie, the reason that I would give this movie the time of day and not just say that it is a sequel for the sake of being a sequel is because it's written by the same person, Taylor Sheridan, who is sort of this voice who does these modern-day, darker, Western-type movies. And he said that he planned three movies. And I know for a fact that there are elements cut out of his screenplay, because I read it, for this movie that they are obviously saving for the next movie. So we are definitely going to see another one. And Denis Villeneuve has said that he might come back to direct the third one. So we're all crossing our fingers. Everyone, you know, everyone who Villeneuve fans
crossing your fingers. How did you get the screenplay? How did you read that?
It's actually pretty easy to find screenplays on the internet because, you know, people that are fascinated by them kind of share them around, and it's interesting to read a screenplay and then watch a movie because you see, like, someone else's interpretation of it. Like, it's kind of like watching the remake of a book that you've seen, but way more accurate. They know that almost never it happens. Oh, they missed that whole thing from the book because the screenplay is accurate to what a movie's going to be. I like to read screenplays before I go to movies. I like reading a screenplay more than I like watching trailers, which is people find insane. But a trailer spoils moments from the movie, and I think that they're the most important parts.
I mean, a screenplay also would probably spoil moments from the movie. Would be
yeah, the plot, but okay. the visuals. It's a visual.
Oh, right, the visual. Right,
it's
right.
Visual. It's sound.
Well, Blake, really that's a very hopeful review, really, for both films. For Upgrade and Sicario 2.
Yeah, they're worth watching.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Blake Smart, our film reviewer, joining us to speak about new films Upgrade and Sicario 2.